To the phone lines we go. Jared, good morning.
How are you, Neil?
I'm good. Have you got a big fishing trip, a fishing trawler down in Baltimore?
We have, yeah.
Okay.
We have.
Is it the one?
No, anyway, Neil, I suppose.
Is it the one you have or is it more?
No, it's my family run 3 fishing vessels out of Baltimore.
3 of them?
Yeah.
And why am I hearing that the likes of your good self are thinking of just tying up?
At the moment, we have 2 of the vessels tied up in Killy Bays because it's just not affordable for us to be at sea at the moment. And that's the reality of the situation. So we currently have 14 guys from them 2 boats sitting at home doing nothing.
Do you mind me asking what jumps into my head straight away is, are they being paid?
No. It's all catch profit is what you're paid on. So these guys are not there. And at the moment, they've gone out and looked for temporary work to see what they can do until we decide to go back to sea. But unfortunately, we're not getting any great help from the government or any indication that something's going to come. Already, we've had several European countries announce their subsidies and their fuel relief, and we're still sitting here waiting several weeks later.
Oh, this is amazing, because I'm delighted to talk to you, and I'll tell you why, because we hear an awful lot about hauliers and we hear an awful lot about motorists and things like that and home heating oil. But all of a sudden, of course, you got to bear in mind that you guys are now paying the same for your green diesel as people used to pay for regular diesel.
Yeah,
isn't that the case?
Yeah, that's pretty much it. It's more than doubled now in the last month, just slightly over a month. So we're paying twice what we were now before this whole crisis started. And the worst part is there doesn't seem to be any into it. Currently, we have 1 of the 3 vessels fishing, and it's looking like in the next couple of weeks, if things don't improve, we're going to have to also bring that vessel ashore. And we have 32 people working for us out of Baltimore. I mean, that's a massive loss to a small community having that kind of a resource tied up.
So 32 with no work and no pay, because their pay is a share of the catch.
Share the catch. So it comes to a stage in where you're... your expenses outweigh your profit, and no one is doing anything. So we're kind of in a limbo at the moment, and it's unfortunately that's the case for a wide range of vessels from big to small at the moment. From the man, he's single boat and he's on to the guys that work for us. It's right across the industry, and I don't know where it's going to come from or how they're going to act. But we're just seeing nothing at the moment from the government.
And is that the same in Castletown or Crosshaven or, you know, all of the other?
Right around the country, yeah. Yeah, if you look at any port at the moment, you'll see several vessels tied up and no one knows what to do or where to go or how to look for it, you know. We're just really in a crisis at the moment.
How are they providing for their families?
As I said, most of our guys now have gone and looked for temporary work elsewhere, looking for mixers and foxers just to keep the lights on in the house, I suppose, you know.
Are they signing on? Can they sign on?
No, unfortunately, you can't sign on when you're a self-employed fisherman. There's no sign-on available for you because you are self-employed. So, I mean, these guys are really at a loss, and like there's a lot of families suffering around the coast at the moment, not just my guys, but... the whole industry is suffering as one, you know. This is about our 5th or 6th year now since 2019, since Brexit was announced. You know, every December, Christmas is supposed to be a happy time for everyone. Every December, we're sitting at home watching and waiting for announcements from Brussels about quota cuts, about what's coming for the year. And we're after 5 or 6 years, terrible years now, and we just don't know how much more we can take.
What would the quota announcements would entail that you're told year in, year out, that you have to catch less and less, is it?
Yeah, so in December they have their meeting in Brussels, and then the quotas are decided for the years, and the announcements come just a few days before Christmas. So that's our year every year now for the last 6 years. But last year we took a 70% cut in our mackerel industry, and that's one of the most important parts of our fishing industry in Ireland.
70% less?
70% less, yeah.
So where?
So we had that at the start of the year. And this has continued on now with the fuel crisis as well. So we're just...
Okay. Just on the issue of fuel, and maybe I'm open to correction, but I haven't heard of hauliers, maybe they have, laying off staff or laying off drivers. Is the same thing happening, do you think, with hauliers?
I, I wouldn't be so sure, but that comes down into me. Like, when a haulier prices a job, he can allow for his fuel factor. When we leave the harbour, we don't know what we're going to catch. We don't know how good the catch is going to be, how bad it's going to be. We're taking a risk. Whereas I suppose for a haulier or someone else, they can allow a certain amount of a factor into their pricing that can mitigate the fuel.
Okay, so because I was going to ask you, why don't you just put up the cost of fish?
Because we don't have it. If we could do that, we would, but we don't have a choice in that. Like, we land our fish and some of it goes to an auction and it's the buyer is bidding it. So we actually have no control over the market whatsoever.
Nor do you have a control over what you might catch. A haulier knows what's going from A to B.
Yeah, exactly. So that's our problem there.
Wow.
I don't know what we're going to do, you know?
Have you recently bought a new boat?
Yes, 3 years ago, we've two new boats, one 3 years ago and one 2 years ago. And the crazy thing about that, Neil, is that the first boat we took delivery of was 3 years old in November. And in the 3 years that we've had the vessel, I spent equal amount of time outside of Irish waters fishing, taking up opportunities in other countries' waters, because it's the only way that we can stay viable.
Can you do that? Like where did you fish?
So far in that vessel, I fished in Spain, France, English waters, Scottish waters. We've landed in Belgium. We've landed in Holland. We fished in Norway. Like, we've just been traveling wherever we can just to keep the thing viable.
Like, what did you catch in Norwegian waters, say, for instance?
We took up an opportunity that Ireland have all the time is they get 300 ton of cod and you can go and fish it in Norway. Last year, we put in for the tender and we were successful with it. And we travelled to Norway and we caught cod there. And
how much?
It's 300 ton, 250 ton of cod.
Of 250 ton weight of cod?
Yeah, so it's quite a lucrative thing. But unfortunately...
Oh, my God.
Yeah, the thing about that, Neil, is that we swap off hundreds of thousands of tons of blue whiting access for Norwegian vessels.
No, I get that. They can come to us as well, and the Spanish can come to us and stuff like that, yeah.
The problem is that there's only one vessel that would travel to Norway to catch cod, which is ridiculous, and we were lucky enough to do it, but there should be 10, 12 Irish boats allowed to travel and catch cod every year. We should be looking for more out of these deals, rather than just accepting the scraps that we get and one vessel being allowed to go to Norway. We should be fighting for 10 vessels to go to Norway.
I know that. Oh, I understand that. But it was lucky you got it, because that was some haul, wasn't it? That was an amazing amount of fish. Yeah. How big a boat would you need for that?
They're 90 feet. So it's not actually that large of a vessel, but it's just... I suppose we're being brave and taking the opportunities we can get. But the thing about that, Neil, is that we're one of the lucky ones. We're one of the people that are travelling. We're the ones that are getting out and doing these things. There's people all around the coast that don't have the boats to travel. There's smaller fishermen that can't leave the local waters. I mean, what are they going to do?
Oh, I know. And listen, it was just a very interesting story you were telling with regards to Norway. I understand that there are people who are literally tied up and have, no income. And those that have boats big enough to employ, you know, people to work and crew alongside them, they're potless as well, and not making a living on top of everything else. So you hear an awful lot with regards to, say, the farmers and things in this country. And I know it's tough to be a farmer, but I think that it must have been over the years much, much harder to be a fisherman. You see all of these big, huge super boats, don't you? See them off the coast.
I think the problem, Neil, that we have is that we're a minority. The fishing industry is actually quite a small industry when you break it down. 2,500 people work in the industry, and we don't have a lot of say, and we're not getting heard. So when I got the opportunity to come and talk to you this morning, I was delighted to take it, because I think they need to be heard.
So why didn't they? The hauliers got a deal like everybody else. They got a couple of deals, incidentally, but you guys got nothing.
Nothing, no. But the crazy thing about it is... we'll head to Spain now in June. That'll be the next fishery that we will definitely take up. And we'll head to Spain now to fish there for 2 months, landing tuna there. And when we are there, we get the Spanish subsidy. So we fished there a number of years ago, and we got the 30 cent subsidy that the Spanish had for their vessels was passed down to the Irish vessels in Spain. When we landed in France at the tuna, the subsidy was passed down to us there as well. So it would be actually better for us to steam our boats to Spain and fill up with diesel load and to fill up with diesel here at home.
Yeah.
That's how crazy it is.
But right now you can't do that.
No, no. But when it comes to June and the tuna fishery opens, we'll
And what's the who's the Minister for Fisheries? Is it Martin Hayden?
Martin Hayden is the senior, and the junior is.
Why haven't they? Why hasn't he been lobbying on your behalf?
All our POs have been lobbying, and at the start of the year, when the mackerel crisis was announced, and just the general fishing crisis was announced, there was a task force set up, or going to be set up now. We were promised that that would be a very quick process, and that there would be aid come to us. We're now 3 months down the line. The task force was only set up last month, and we're still here waiting for answers.
No, but from the point of view of maybe some sort of a reduction in the cost of green diesel.
I don't know why he's not lobbying for us, or why they haven't come out and done something, because, as I said, there are several European countries have already announced their initiatives for their taxing. I mean, it's obviously the mechanism is there in Europe because these other countries have come out and done it. So
Of course they could have done it. They did it with regular diesel.
Yeah, so I don't know why they're sitting on their hands about this, and it's just, you know, people, as I said, guys are sitting at home with nothing to do, and it's not like they can sign on or they can do anything else. I mean,
no.
This is just...
It's a share of the catch. So you as the skipper get a share, all of the crew get a share, and the boat gets a share.
Yeah, yeah.
And you got 2 cents off marine diesel.
Yeah.
For God's sake, man.
The night before it was announced, the diesel went up 4.5 cents.
Yeah, there, I know. Doesn't surprise
me. So, you know, I mean, we're here in pure limbo, really, so... I don't know what we're going to do or how we can approach it. All we can do is keep lobbying and hope that we get something out of it.
Absolutely, because we're talking about people's livelihoods and families that were dependent on the crew on the different fishing ships and boats to bring back money to keep the show on the road, keep the lights on.
It's also food security as well, Neil. You know, I mean, if we're not landing fish, where are the people going to get us?
I don't know. It makes no sense. It really, truly doesn't. I mean, like, they're talking now about perhaps a shortage of fuel, and they're talking about perhaps maybe people having to work from home, and there could be guidelines with driving cars and vans only for essential purposes. It doesn't sound as if your predicament is going to improve anytime soon if things are destined to get worse.
No, I don't. I can't see it. I just can't see it. And even at the measures even in France and Spain, I think they've announced around 30 cents a litre for fuel. And I mean, that just brings it back to marginal and survival.
Yeah, it's still higher than it was before all of this. And what about repayments on boats then? I mean, obviously people might have taken out loans or bought bigger boats or have bank repayments.
Well, we've built 2 new boats. We've massive repayments, and I suppose all we're doing is knuckling down and hoping for the best, that this is a short-term problem and not a long-term solution. Okay. Because if it is, then that's a lot bigger question for us and a lot bigger headache. But, I mean, you know, the banks we're dealing with are good to deal with, and you just got to keep the faith, I suppose, you know.
Keep the faith is right, yeah.
It's a way of life, Neil. Like, I mean, I never went to higher education. I mean, this is what I've done for the last 20 something years full time, and I don't have anything else to do. My family are heavily invested in it, and we've it's not like we can decide tomorrow morning that we're going to go out and change our lifestyle or change our work.
You go straight into fishing from school, was it?
Yes, yeah.
But are you intergenerational within the family? Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Like out of the 6 of my family, 4 of us are working in the business.
How many generations back? I'm just curious, Gerard.
I'm the 3rd generation.
Yeah, and of course there's an onus of responsibility on you as well to keep it going, right?
Well, I that's what we all hope, is that our future generations and our children are able to keep the industry alive and work in it. But as I said, since 2019, since Brexit was announced, we've had nothing but bad news.
And you've been forgotten about here.
How much more can you take?
Yeah, yeah.
Every December we say it can't get any worse, and somehow it manages to.
So I know some fishermen recently, they say they got grief over the scallops. Now they're getting grief over crayfish. Everywhere they turn, they're getting grief and restrictions and cutbacks and hassle. It's like as if you're looking over your shoulder. You get the Spanish then trawling away mad off the coast, and it makes no sense. Not fair.
See, what's happened is, as well, is because we have such a small portion of the fish in our waters. Ireland is only allowed to catch 15% of the fish in their waters. So, I mean, like, when the cold...
Okay, and are the Spanish allowed to catch 15% of the fish in their waters?
No, they have much. No, they have a much higher. They have.
How did we drop the ball on that?
Brussels back in when we signed up to Europe in the 70s.
So if we're only allowed to catch 15% of our own fish in our own waters, who's catching the rest of it?
Spanish, French, Belgium, Dutch. But obviously, you see as well when you keep having quota reductions, if you're coming from quite a large stake at the start, the Spanish having 40%, you don't feel the squeeze as much. But when you're only coming from a very low level of 15% in your own waters, every little reduction is massive across the board.
Hang on a second. So you're saying to me that the Spanish have 40% of the quota of fish in Irish waters, and the Irish fishermen have 15.
Some of the species, yeah.
That's ludicrous, man.
We had hundreds of vessels over 18 meters. We're down to just slightly over 100 now in the industry.
It's dying.
It's dying. And the problem with that, Neil, is that, you know, that those 120 or 30 vessels, they make up nearly 50% of the turnover for Irish fishing industry.
That's depressing.
So, I mean, like, if you start reducing these boats even more, the industry is gone.
That's depressing. It really and truly is. I can't get over how unfair the division of the spoils in the Irish waters are, really and truly. Stay in touch, Gerard. Who knows what's going to happen in the coming weeks? No, it's important to talk to your good selves, because we hadn't seen it from your perspective. We saw it from the point of view of the motorists, home heating oil, businesses turning the lights on, putting on the heating, and from hauliers, but not from the fishermen's, where people are literally out of work, can't sign on, and literally looking for foxers or part-time jobs. Thanks, Gerard. Thanks for taking the call.
No problem, Neil. Speak to you soon. Thank you.
George Sheehy down in Baltimore. That's alarming, isn't it? It really and truly is. Text 0868 104 106.